Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 492. So to summarize the discussions we had in the last two or three shiurim, number one, the obligation of mitzvah oina is min ha-tayra. One may not marry without undertaking to fulfill this mitzvah, and withholding it from one's wife is compared to stealing. Number two, unlike other marital responsibilities, the mitzvah oina is non-negotiable. For other obligations, the husband may marry with the condition not to provide them. Again, the wife has to agree, but it's a marriage. But there's no option to exclude mitzvah oina, since that's the basis of marriage. And again, that may seem to people to be very animalistic, or selfish, or self-centered, or very materialistic, or base, to say that concept, that mitzvah oina is the basis of marriage, that physical sexual intimacy is the basis of marriage. But yes, it's the basis of marriage. We always talk about that you have to be balanced in life, and you have to behave in the nida period properly, and in all your times of life, and emotional and other intimacies. It's not just a bedroom, and being obsessed with the bedroom is unhealthy. We talked about that a lot. But it's the basis. It's the shayrish. Like Rav Henkin, we said, where he said he saw the nakuda of it is a lot of other problems are based on that. On that wasn't taught properly, or a husband and wife never learned how to interact in that way. The right way. They were never taught, or they never understood it, or they never practiced it. And once they did, that healed a ton of problems. Two-way street. You have to behave outside the bedroom to affect the bedroom properly, but the other way around is the same way. You need the bedroom aspects to heal a marriage and to bring it out in the best, fullest way, in spiritual ways, and in ways that have nothing to do with the bedroom. But the bedroom is the basis of it. So to repeat that, there's no option to exclude mitzvah oina from a marriage, since it's the basis of marriage. Number three, each husband is obligated to engage in the mitzvah at least a minimum number of days, each according to their profession. Nowadays, it's usually advised not to have relations less than twice a week. Twice a week being an absolute minimum. You want to be a little bit of a Eber Chacham, and if you believe your wife is maskim to this, or you both talk to a Rav, ask the Shaila. Generally speaking, not less than twice a week. And whatever schedules you do work out between yourselves, not written in stone. It's not a hard number. You base it on the connectivity, how you want it, the desire to connect, one of you being in the mood, the other one trying to get into the mood to help the other. All this could be spontaneous. Even within a schedule, there's ways to be spontaneous. Number four, just as there is a duty to physically unite in actual sexual union, so it is a duty of chibik v'nishuk, because hugging and kissing serves to express the proper joy of the mitzvah. They are indicative of an inner connection and the love between a couple. As we said before, also, is that chibuk v'nishuk is not just a preparation for the act, but in and of itself is part and parcel of mitzvah oina. Number five, this mitzvah of oina must be fulfilled without clothes, as one flesh, because this brings husband and wife close together without any barriers. This is important enough that if a husband or wife wants to fulfill the mitzvah only while wearing clothes, the other spouse is entitled to file for a divorce. Number six, similarly, there's a duty of pious prior to the union for the same reason, since it brings the couple closer and puts them in the mood for physically connecting. So that's the recap of the basic points of the last several shiurim. And now we're going to move on to a topic regarding a woman's influence on oina. The truth is the chi of oina in the Torah is not on the woman. The Torah is mechayev the man with the mitzvah of oina. We already explained there's no outright mitzvah according to most Rishonim. It's more like it's a lav. He's over if he doesn't do it. Sheiruk susav einasa lo yigra. It's written in the negative. Her food, her clothing, her conjugal rights, he may not diminish. So we gather from this pasuk that oina is a basic need, just like food and clothing. Don't say in married life, don't use the philosophy, oh, you could die without food. You could die without clothing because of exposure to heat, extreme heat or extreme cold. But you will live without sex. Very true. But once you have a married life and there's an oina there, it's the basic human need, just as food is, just as clothing is. And it's a refuah, and it's a yeshua, and it's a needed for the emotional health of both. Ad kedei kach that Chazal call oina derech eretz. Derech eretz means it's the way of the world, meaning the normal way of the world. Physical relations, sex in marriage, is the normal way of the world. It's called derech eretz. It's a regular part in married life. In many marriages, maybe not early on, or may not be with a couple that's obsessed with the sexual, which is also not healthy. You have couples like that. They have to get their head screwed on straight and know how to realize that marriage has a lot of parts to it. This is one of them. But unfortunately, in many marriages, in the frum world especially, it becomes a side factor. It becomes incidental. A lot of the times through no fault of their own. Children, pregnancies, nursing, taking care of the children, learning, the stresses of life, work stresses, other stresses. So it's not like it sort of falls into being a side factor. It falls into being incidental. It's not intended, but it happens. And once it becomes like a side factor or physical intimacy becomes like an incidental aspect of a marriage, this is what we got to do. Even if one of them feels that way, that is the beginning of the end of a total drifting apart. But then, going back to this, that yes, it's a chiv on the husband. And though it's the husband who's obligated, nevertheless, both husband and wife have that fundamental need for it. And just like both husband and wife have a need for food, they both have to eat, they have a need for clothing. So when the Torah equates oina to those two, then that's the husband's duty and mitzvah to ensure that his wife has a sufficient supply of oina. But it's an elemental need for both men and women. It's a natural need for both men and women. Hashem put it in there, in the natures of men and women. The duty and the mitzvah, technically on a d'oraisa level, belongs to the husband, not the wife. And it is he, the husband, who must ensure that they cohabit in love and in friendship, and that he fulfills her needs and her desires. So yes, the man has to do a lot of the heavy lifting. That's why in traditional lifestyle, including Torah lifestyle, unlike things that have changed with it, a husband is the one who's tasked with the provider role in both food and oina. And that's easy to understand. The ksuba says, "Ana eflach." I need to work. Ramila always stressed that. You could be a koil person, and he encouraged koil. And if the wife is willing to do that and support the husband, kala kavod. But there's always the ano eflach suva hanging in there. It's conditional. Once it's too hard, or the wife feels she can't do it anymore, then the man has to step up to the plate and needs to provide. And they were traditionally the hunters, the gatherers, the sole breadwinners of their families. Without her husband bringing home the bread, the wife would find it difficult to have food for herself and her children. It was the man that provided it. And it's still in the ksuba that a man should provide it, unless the wife is maskim so he could learn and she works, kolzman she's maskim to it. Now, in the olden days, the Torah allowed a woman only, of course, to have one husband, but a husband could have multiple wives. At that time, when it was accepted that way, the Torah wanted to make certain that even though a husband can marry more than one wife, but he must never marry another wife if it's going to neglect the needs of the first wife he married. And therefore, even when multiple marriages were allowed to different women, the husband cannot neglect the needs of his first wife, even if he married a second one. The Torah ensured that the woman, the wife, needs to have, and if he in those days married 2, 3, 4 wives, in those days, that a woman, each one of them, has financial stability, has physical stability, sexual stability, emotional stability, and the needs of each one's aina is kept. These days, the idea of multiple wives is no longer acceptable. Cherem, the remaining gershon, and the women are now breadwinners in very often. But the halacha doesn't change. The chiyuv and mitzvah is on the husband to provide the aina as a matana to the isha. But it's not just a matana to the isha. Now the woman needs to recognize that even though the mitzvah is thrown on him, but the fundamental part of a healthy marriage and the human necessity, the husband and wife are equal in this mitzvah. She has obligations as well, is pretty much what we're saying here. On the Deiraisa technical level, it's a chiyuv on the husband, not on the wife. On the Derabbanan and on the Hashkafic level, and on how a real marriage is supposed to work, she has responsibilities too. She also needs to physically unite with her husband. Even though there's no express mitzvah on her to do this, the marriage contract, the ksuba, obligates her to do this. Look in the Rashba, Nedarim, Daf Tesvav Amud Beis. Acknowledges the fact that the woman is technically not have that mitzvah of Aina, it's on the man. But if she makes a neder to withhold pleasure from her husband, the neder is not valid. And it is not required even to nullify the neder, because she's bound to him with that idea. The Lashon of the Rashba is, it's true, but if she assers her pleasure on her husband, she forbids herself to her husband, the nether is not chal, and he does not have to even annul it. Why? The shibudi mishabdalei, because it's an obligation on her. And the Shulchan Aruch Yedeya Simon Reish Lamedal, Siv Zayin says, Omra Hanos Tashmishi Alecha, she forbids marital relations from her husband, Ein Tzarich Lahafer, he does not have to annul the vow, Shehi Mishubedes Loi. So she does have that responsibility. Otherwise, there's Meiredes, which again, we're not going to get into the details of Meiredes, but the idea is that the wife has a certain sense, the mitzvah's aina, in a way, is more on the wife, not on a technical halachic aspect, but in hashkafa aspect certainly, and a rabbanan aspect certainly, because the Gemara does assert and says that the anguish of a husband being withheld from this is more than the anguish of the wife. Of course, it's a generalization. It's taken from the Yerushalmi Ksubis Perek Hei Halacha Ches, where it says, Tzare Shel Ish Meruba Yoisim Min Ha'isha, the withholding of sexual release and expression is more difficult when it's withheld by a man than it is with a woman, generally speaking. Other Maror Mekayimus look at Ksubis Samach Dalet Amud Beis, Saita Daf Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara says this in many places in a very clear way. Therefore, it's very important to know that, yes, it's on the husband, the Iker Chiyuv, the Deiraisa, whether it's close to the time, not close to the time, whenever she wants, and she's healthy, and he senses that she needs it and she wants it, he has to oblige. No question about it. She dresses a certain way. It's clear that she's desiring it. He has to provide it. But the other way around, the Stipel writes in one of the letters, Igris Kodesh, again, we had Shurim on that too, that a woman, Aisha, a woman, Hamaynas is Balu, holds back from her husband, Michai Isha's from married life, Zach Zari is Gadol, it's cruelty. He Tzara Baal Gadol, the Tzara of a husband being withheld from this is great, Kishvichas Damim, like shedding blood. So we will talk more about this, Bez Hashem, in the next shir. But again, in marriage, as in everything else, it takes two to tango. it's clear that on a practical, technical sense, even though you could say that it depends on the matzev, and the ikachi of ayin is only on the husband on a deraisa level, which is true, but it's clear from the Torah life, from the Shulchan Aruch, from the Gedolei Yisrael, from everyone that it's a two-way street, and they both need to fulfill their obligations to one another. Husband to wife, wife to husband. Bracha v'atzlacha.